If you would do me a favor, open up your Bibles to Psalm 86. Hi, buddy. Open up your Bible, Psalm 86. We're going to be looking at the first seven verses. Our topic this morning is prayer. And you might be asking yourself, why are we talking about prayer? It's Baptism Sunday. We should be talking about something else. But the reason why we're going to hone in on prayer this morning is one, it's a discipline and a practice that we all need to do more, right? If you're honest with yourself, we all can pray more, and we all can intercede on each other's behalf to the Lord. But two, the reason why we're doing this prayer series or this one-off prayer sermon is because God has been extremely generous and gracious to the chapel. Amen? God has done things in this church that only testify of God's greatness and God's power. Amen? And because we know God is faithful and because God has been faithful to the chapel, one of the things that we want to do is to become a church that prays. We want our world to know that the chapel in the big city of Akron, you should laugh at that, is a church that prays. We want to be known for our prayer life. We want people in Northeast Ohio to come to the chapel and know that not only are they going to hear God's word, but they are going to experience God's presence. And the way people can experience God's presence is through prayer. So we're going to become a church that prays. And what that means is, I'll talk a little bit about this at the end of our sermon, is the chapel for the first time in a long time is going to enter a season of prayer and fasting. If you don't know, the new year is coming up, and I know you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Thanksgiving hasn't started. But just so you know, I think we only have 6 more weeks to the end of the year, maybe 7. And like most people in the new year, everyone likes to start a new habit. Everybody has a New Year's resolution. And what if the chapel here, our New Year's resolution is that we would pray more? What if the chapel here says, for 21 days, we are going to bombard heaven to ask God to do what only he can do in our life and in our world? What if the chapel said, for 21 days, we are going to pray for each other, with each other every single day, so that God would do a work in us, so that we can tell an unbelieving world, hey, you know the problems that you see in the world? You know the issues in life that you are experiencing? We have a solution. And the solution has a name, and that name is Jesus. And you can know Jesus not only in his word, but you can know him in prayer. You can talk to him and he'll answer. You can talk to him and he'll respond. He won't ignore you. He won't abandon you. So the chapel in 2025, starting January 5th, I'll talk about it at the end of the service, is going to enter into 21 days of prayer. And here's why. Because we all need God. I don't know about you, but this year has been a tough year. Many of us are hurting. Many of us are in pain. Many of us have experienced hard and dark times. And the reality is, I don't think that's going to stop until the Lord returns. So we turn to the Lord in prayer so that when we face those obstacles, when our life is dark, when we are overwhelmed with life, when life doesn't go the way we planned, when we're grieving and when we feel lost in this world, you and I can go to God in prayer. So we're going to look at a prayer this morning in Psalm 86. If you look at it, it's a prayer of David. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew back in front of you. You can turn to page 494. If you don't own a Bible, that is our gift to you, because here at the chapel, not only do we study God's word, we read God's word, but we live out God's word. And the passage that we find ourselves in is a prayer of David. And Psalm 86 is broken up into three major sections. We're gonna look at section one, but the three sections are prayers that go like this: God, would you hear me? God, would you teach me? And God, would you show me? Section one is, God, will you hear me? That's verses 1-7, and I'll read it for us. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. David is in a bad place. David is feeling helpless against some powerful danger. Therefore, he prays for rescue from his hardship. David's back is against the wall. Death seems imminent. And here, the only place that David can go to, the only person that David can talk to, is God. So he turns to the Lord to seek salvation and reassurance. And what you'll notice about David, beyond just David being a king, beyond David being the most powerful man in Israel during this time, beyond the fact that David was a mighty warrior who killed tens of thousands of people, despite the fact that David was the most influential person in Israel, David knew that he needed God more than anyone else. So my question to you this morning is, if David, throughout the Psalms, where we see that he prays often and regularly, David, who had so much power and influence, so much money, David who prayed to God, my question for you this morning is, why do you pray? If you took an honest evaluation of your heart and your mind, if you are a believer this morning, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, why do you pray? Why do you talk to God? Better yet, why should you pray? Why should you talk to God? That's the question that we have this morning. Why do we pray? Now, my goal is to motivate you to pray, not to guilt you into prayer, but to truly to evaluate your motivation as to why we pray. Because many people pray, and oftentimes those prayers are just a laundry list of things that we want God to do, and God is not afraid about that laundry list. God wants us to give him that laundry list, but oftentimes our prayers are consumed with a list of things that go like this: God, would you bless me? God, would you give me this? God, don't do that. God, I want this. God, I don't want that. God, give me this. Please give me this. And though those prayers are good and right, I often believe that when we pray only those prayers, it actually discourages us to truly pray. Because what happens when God says no? What happens when God says not yet? Or what happens when we rely on our own strength and our own self-reliance to answer that prayer? What happens then? We don't pray. But I think we see in Psalm 86 in the first 7 verses, David gives us 3 reasons why you and I pray, why you and I should pray. And here's the first reason why we should pray. The first reason why you and I should pray, the first reason why every believer prays is found in the first 2 verses. We pray because we are needy and are dependent on God. We are needy and are dependent on God. Notice that David calls out to God to incline his ears. It's not because God is selective in his hearing. It's not because God is distant or disinterested. It's because in that moment, David has no other solution than to go to God in prayer. David realizes that there's no one else that he can go to solve the problem of his situation. David realizes, despite the power and wealth and prestige of his position, that he ultimately needs God. David's need is both external and internal. His afflictions from his enemies, the imminent threat of death, and really the internal struggle of peace and tranquility. In David's distress, David prays to a God who hears, a God who knows, and a God who responds. David wasn't the only person that prayed. You know who else prayed? Jesus. Jesus, when we read the Gospels, prayed often and frequently. And we have to ask the question, why did Jesus pray all the time? Why was Jesus constant in prayer? At the start of his ministry, after he got baptized, we see Jesus do something spectacular. The first thing that he doesn't do is he doesn't go around healing people. He doesn't go around preaching the gospel just yet. He goes away first to pray. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the begotten Son of God, the all-knowing God, self-sufficient God, is the God that we see in the gospel who prays. Why does Jesus need to pray? He's God. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's sufficient. He doesn't need to pray. Why do we see Jesus pray in the Gospels? Well, listen to what Jesus says in his own words. He says, "The Son of Man cannot do anything by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father is doing." This raises a profound question that if Jesus can't do anything that the Father, that he doesn't see the Father do, the question we have to ask ourselves is then, why, if Jesus prayed, why don't we pray? When we examine this passage in the Psalms and when we examine the life of Jesus where he frequently prayed, we learn an important lesson about prayer. We learn that at the heart of prayer is a person who acknowledges that they are in complete need of God. They are utterly dependent on him. And if Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was completely dependent on God for his power, his strength through the Holy Spirit, then you and I, who are sinful and wretched, you and I, who don't have the power that Jesus has to be God, then we must learn the lesson of Jesus and say, if he can pray, if he wanted to pray, if he needed to pray, then therefore you and I need to pray. But But why don't we? If the Bible says we're needy, if the Bible says, hey, you need to pray because you are not self-sufficient in your strength, why don't we pray? Can I tell you why I don't pray? Why it's hard for me to pray? Yes, it's hard for me to pray as a minister of the gospel. The reason why I often struggle in prayer is because I am far more confident in my strength and in my ability. I am far more comfortable to be in the driver's seat than to be the passenger in the car. So here's what I'll do. I'll figure it out myself. I'll talk to 1,000 people before I talk to God about my problem. I'll make up a solution. I will find the willpower in myself to figure out how I'm going to fix my problem and my situation before I go to God. Because at the end of the day, my heart says this: you can do it. You're capable, you're strong, you're independent, you don't need anybody's help, you're a man. You can prove to yourself that you can do it. And you know what that is? You know what that's called? It's one word: pride. Pride says, you're not needy. You can do it. You can do it on your own. And in fact, you can prove to God you don't need him. And yet David says, God, I need you. It should be obvious to us that our need should drive us to prayer. But the truth is, pride and self-reliance keep us from seeing how needy we are. So we rely on our own strength and power. We pray because we need God, and we are ultimately dependent on him. The second reason why we should pray all the time is because we want to experience God better. Look at verse 3 and 5. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. We pray because we want to experience God's character. We want to experience his attributes. That's the reason why we pray. What if the purpose of prayer isn't getting all the answers that you want? What if ultimately the purpose of prayer is to experience God in a new way? To see him for who he really is. To see that God is good. What does it mean that God is good? It means that God gives what is best. Maybe prayer is meant for you to see God as a forgiving God. So many people in our world feel that God cannot forgive them of their sin because they've sinned too often, or the thing that they did was too horrible. And yet David, in his prayer, asking God to intervene on his behalf, acknowledges all that God is and all that God has done. He acknowledges that God is good and God is forgiving. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with each other, maybe the reason why we don't pray is because beyond just our desire to be self-reliant and beyond our pride, maybe the reason why we often don't pray is because we truly have not had an experience with God. I mean, that's not to say that because you struggle with prayer, you haven't experienced God. It just means that maybe the reason why you struggle is because you haven't fully understood, you haven't come to know who God is in your life. And because you don't fully know who he is, it's hard to have a conversation with him, right? Because like in any good relationship, the foundation of a good relationship is what? Trust and communication. In every good relationship, there's always trust and communication. And maybe this morning, the reason why you struggle with prayer is because you don't truly know who God is. And maybe you do, but it's not to the extent of what David is saying here. My desire is for you, right, is to see that you can know God deeper, more intimately in prayer. Because guess what? He's more than just a person in a book. He's more than a person that you read about. He's more than a person that existed 2,000 years ago. He's alive and well, who desires to be intimate with you, who desires to have a relationship with you, who desires to give you all that you need so that you can thrive as a person. But to experience that, you have to know him. You have to know God's character, God's promises. You have to know that God is merciful, loving, and kind. More than just an intellectual knowledge of it, you have to have an experience with it. David prays with confidence because he knows who God is. His prayer is grounded in God's revelation to him. And David says, God is good and God is forgiving. A writer once wrote about this. We are not desperate for something, but rather we are desperate for someone. And in this psalm, we see not just a desperation of David for something, but a desperation to see God more intimately. And this captures another part of prayer, that when we prioritize prayer, it's less about words, but more about time with God. Which brings us to our last point. We pray because we are needy and we are dependent on God. We pray because we want to experience God better. We want to experience his character and his attributes. We want to experience God for who he is, not just what he does, but the kind of person that he is. And thirdly, the reason why you and I pray is because we are confident in God's faithfulness. Look at verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you answer me. Notice that there isn't a question mark after that sentence. Notice that David isn't doubting whether or not God is going to answer his prayer. David has a firm conviction that is deep-seated, rooted in God's character, that he believes that God is going to respond to his request. His life and his prayer life is marked by this confidence that God is faithful to respond. He doesn't beg in despair, but he calls out to God with an assurance that God will answer him. I love what another commentator says about this. He says, because God himself is infinite and eternal, his glory is inexhaustible. And because his resources are inexhaustible, he cannot be impoverished by sharing them with his children. This confidence comes not from our own worthiness or strength, but it comes from God's proven track record. The repetition of listen and answer in Psalm 86 underscores that David has put his trust in God and believes that God will respond. And oftentimes the reason why you and I struggle in prayer and the reason why prayer is often our last resort versus our first resort is because we don't believe that God's going to respond. We don't believe that God cares enough to respond. We don't think we're worthy enough for God to respond. How can God answer my prayer? Does he not see how sinful I am? Does he not see how bad I am? Does he not see how wicked I could be? Does he not know how I treat people and the way I talk and the way I act? And surely God can't answer my prayers. And yet this is the person in the Psalms who killed 10,000 or tens of thousands of people, who had an affair, multiple wives, and this is the guy that says, God, I know you're answering me. Why? Because his prayer life was rooted not in his character. His prayer life wasn't rooted in his attributes. His prayer life was rooted in God's faithfulness, that God answers our prayers despite who we are, because God is faithful. Yes, yes, yes. Now, that doesn't mean we go on to sin and say, oh, well, God's gonna answer my prayers anyway. I should keep singing. No, it just puts us in the right perspective that when we pray, we're praying God's will, but we're also praying to a God who answers our prayers based on his faithfulness and not ours. So if you're worried about whether or not God's going to answer your prayer because you've been faithless to God or you have been unfaithful to him, know that that's not how God operates. God doesn't treat you the way you treat him. God treats you the way he treats his son. Love, mercy, grace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So if we pray because God is faithful, then that means that prayer is an act of faith. We pray because we believe God will answer, not because we know exactly how or when, but because we trust in him. John says it this way in 1 John. He says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, if you know that God is attentive to your prayer, that he hears everything that we ask, we know, this is John, that we have the request that we have asked of him. Just as David confidently called upon God for help, we as believers in Christ can pray with the assurance that God hears us and will respond according to his will. And the reason why God responds, right? Because maybe you're sitting there and says, why would God answer? You know why God would answer? It's because, one, we are in a relationship with him. And he loves us. Notice, have you ever in your life heard people say prayer changes things? Or have you heard people say there is power in prayer, hence the title of our sermon? There's power in prayer. I have news for you. This is something might radically change the way you view prayer, but prayer in its essence doesn't hold power. It's the relationship with God that empowers the prayer. When we use it to connect with God, we tap into a power that's infinite and unstoppable. God alone possesses all the power. And the key to accessing that power is through an intimate and personal relationship with him that's based on trust and commitment and love. The point is that the reason why we pray is because God's faithful. And we pray because God is powerful to answer our prayer. And that we just don't pray because we think the words have power. We pray to the person who has the power. So our motivation to pray has everything to do not with ourselves, but has everything to do with who God is. Because God is dependable. God is trustworthy. And God is faithful. And because God is all those three things, we, the chapel, have been beneficiaries of God's great blessing. For 90 years, this is our 90th anniversary. For 90 years, you know that God has been faithful to the chapel? Through every up and down, God has been faithful. So, as I said at the beginning of our service, we want to be a people committed to prayer. We want to be a people known for our prayer. Don't you want to be known for your prayer life? Don't you want to experience God more intimately? So the call for the next month is that every single person in this room watching online, every single person who calls the chapel their home, is to commit to 21 days of prayer. Over the next month, we're gonna be asking every single person in our church to sign up for 15 minutes every day in January to pray for themselves, to pray for each other, to pray for our church. And here's why. We're gonna pray because we know and we believe that God can do the thing that we can't do for ourselves. If you're anxious and worried about the world, if you're anxious and worried about the politics of our world, if you're anxious and worried about what's happening in our community, look at Psalm 86. Look where David put his trust in. Let's pray. Why don't you take a moment in prayer and ask God for a few things? God, would you help me in my prayer life? God, would you help me become closer to you in my prayer life? God, would you help me see you clearly in my prayer? And maybe you're going through a problem right now. Maybe there's deep pain and deep hurt. Maybe there's doubt and fear. Maybe you have questions. Take another moment and say, God, I yield this thing to you because I know that if David could trust you with the hardest things in his life, then surely, God, I can trust you with this hard thing in my life. Father God, we come to you in the name of your son, Jesus, asking you, Father God, to do the thing that we can't do for ourselves. God, you are faithful and we can trust you. So we trust you with every part of our life. We even trust you with the parts of our life that are confusing and oftentimes overwhelming. God, we even trust you with our prayer life that as we desire to grow intimately with you, Lord, that we trust that as we navigate this, that you would help us and that you will respond. Do this, God, so that we can tell everyone around us, you are a God who hears, you are a God who knows, and you are a God who responds. We ask you to do these things, not on our character or our worthiness, but we ask you to do this for the testimony of your son, Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name, and the people of God say.
This has been a message from the chapel in Akron, Ohio. Thanks for joining us today. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 10:40 a.m. You can join us online for our services by going to akronlive.thechapel.life. For more information about the chapel, please visit our website at thechapel.life.